Do I feel blessings? This is Kaylin Castell, co-founder of the Shamanic Astrology Mystery School, creator of the Celestial Timings, and co-author of the Shamanic Astrology Handbook, with Unexpected Magic Part 2. I'm sure there'll be many parts to this, but this one was quite amazing and fits within the Venus overtone Capricorn that began in January of 2014. The experience I'm speaking of happened in March of 2014. And it was actually the day before the a day and a half before the Venus Moon conjunction at the sixth gate, which is to me the second gate, sixth chakra. The sixth chakra has a lot to do with magic, and so and I feel like at this gate in the descent of Venus into the underworld, it's the time to release the distortions that prevent us from experiencing magic. The Capricorn overtone is very much connected to the wise woman, the elder, the grandmother energy, and we've been really working with the circle of grandmothers, the grandmother guides, with this particular cycle, and have an amazing group have come together, all sent by the grandmothers. At least that was the guidance that I got from this amazing magical experience. I'll explain a little bit more. And to be a part of this, because we are creating how to do the Venus cycle and the awareness of bringing back the grandmother wisdom as a community. And so the thing that happened for me in this window of time as the moon was approaching Venus for this gateway of being connected to our vision, the third eye chakra, how we envision and how we connect to the magic. So I had a dentist appointment, and my dentist lives out in the West Tucson Mountains, and I was driving home, I was like, maybe I should just go for a hike. I just had that sort of flash moment because I was really close to a hiking trail. I could just drive like a mile down the road in a different direction, and I would be at this great hiking trail. And so I decided to do that spur of the moment. It was a little windy. There was a few dark clouds. It doesn't usually rain this time of the year in the desert, but I was like, that's kind of cool. So I went hiking on this trail, and as I'm hiking on the trail, I'm remembering there's this cave that I had been taken 2 years before, and I hadn't been to it, and I couldn't even remember how long, but as I thought about it, I realized it had been 8 years before. And in that, the 8 years before, I had had this Venus cycle had been very profound for me. And I didn't really realize it until I started looking at the Venus overtone in Capricorn. So let's just back up a little bit, and I'll say in 1982 was the first time Venus rose in Capricorn as a morning star. And in July of that year, actually on the 4th of July, my oldest son was born. So that was magical for me, a very powerful entire changing of my life, entering into motherhood. Then in 1990, my youngest son was born. So that's 8 years later, also in the same overtone. He was born in May of 1990. So both my oldest and youngest sons are now in their Venus return. Now in between the oldest being born and the youngest being born, I did have twins and, which was also magical and amazing, thrilled that I had them, but I had thought that I wouldn't have any more children because I thought after having twins, it was time to quit. When they come in twos, I used to say it's time to quit. So I was done. And then 5 years later, my youngest son came along, and there's a whole story around that that's pretty magical, actually, about how that happened and what a gift he has been in my life. I got this incredible gift in 1990, but also it was the year I met Daniel Jamario and got involved with shamanic astrology. So powerful life changes. I got married too. I'm married in February of 1990 as the new Venus cycle was beginning. And so starting a brand new life, all very magical and amazing and powerful timing. So then in 1998, the big event for me was that my mother died. And she I was there to help midwife her through that process. And that was a powerful initiation. And one of the things that happened as a result of my mother passing, because all the grandparents were gone, I became the matriarch of the family, or the eldest woman of the family. And I was only 42 at the time. So I was like not really thinking that I could walk that role or, you know, be in that role. But it was the role that was there for me. And basically, it just meant that I didn't have any help raising my kids now. The other grandparents from my former husband and my current husband at that time were really not interested in spending time with their grandchildren. So they weren't very involved grandparents. And my mother, who had been the most involved, had just passed. So, and I had been a part of that process. So that was 1998. And then in 2006... I my divorce from my second husband was finalized. I changed my name legally, which was big deal, and it completely changed my life to do that. Powerful changing of everything on so many levels. And I married my beloved that same year when Venus and Mars and the Sun were conjunct in Libra in October of 2006. And so everything changed in that year of and the following year. We wound up moving, and so many things were just have happened to me in these 8 year Venus returns, and I started to see this pattern. But the other thing that happened in 2006 was in March I had this dream about the being initiated by a circle of women in a cave, and basically I called this my Sekhmet dream. And I wrote about it in my journal. And so, just pull up that piece. I want to share it with you because it was so profound. It happened on March 27th of 2006. And I'll just share how I wrote it. I said, there was a cave, an initiation cave, that could only be entered with the help of Sekhmet. I couldn't imagine how to enter myself, so I turned to walk away. But for some reason, I felt compelled to turn around, and there she stood in an ethereal, mystical kind of ghostly way. She was beckoning me and holding space, or opening the way, more accurately, for me to step into the cave of initiation. When I looked inside, there was a place to step, a circle of women, and a space for me in the center. A woman, high priestess, during the ceremony, asked me what gift I was bringing. And at that moment, there was a racket and slamming and huge door, wooden doors running through the room, completely disrespecting the space. I was completely annoyed. These were young males who seemed oblivious to our sacred space. So I said we needed to do something about it. The high priestess was delighted. The circle of women, the initiation, seemed complete, or it came to be the part where I went into a ritual bath. And this bath was... the way I remember it was just a gorgeous place in the cave with crystals all around. I saw crystal geodes, and the crystals were red, and many of them were red. There were misty white that muted the red in some of them, and they were large, some about the size of a pillow. There was a milky quartz that was even bigger, and there was an aquarium that was in there, and fire water, all kinds of things that were helping to create the crystals. And I woke up from this dream and was so profound, I wrote it down, obviously, so I have it written here. And I was just amazed at the way that this dream had unfolded. Well, in September of 2006, 6 months later, I was in Bookman's, a used bookstore here in Tucson, and I saw a book on the shelf from Lynn Andrews. And you may remember in my Unexpected Magic story around my birthday, I had read, in 1987, I had read a book by Lynn Andrews that convinced me that I was going to live a magical life, that I wanted, that's what I wanted. I wanted things that were magical and synchronistic and amazing, like the stories that she was writing about. So I was already very connected to Lynn Andrews. And the title of the book was A Woman at the Edge of Two Worlds, or Woman at the Edge of Two Worlds, A Spiritual Journey Through Menopause. Of course, at this time, I was in menopause. In fact, had had, unbeknownst to me, in September of 2006, had had my last menstrual cycle. I never had another one after that. And so I picked up the book and am reading. It's on page 31 of the book that Agnes Whistling Elk, who is a mentor for Lynn Andrews, is telling her that at the change of life came the highest initiation that you would live through as a woman. It was your initiation into your sacred and spiritual world. Younger women were not allowed into the sacred caves that held knowledge. Those caves were called different names around the world, but I will speak of what I know. At the entrance to these caves, some of which are in the dream time, some in the physical lodge reality, there were guardians, keepers of the caves. The guardian you will meet is woman at the edge of the two worlds. She is the goddess who initiates all women into their sacredness. She takes you through the labyrinths of mystery and change as you become changing women and helps you to discover the highest plateaus of consciousness. These initiations have been forgotten because the patriarchy has become so strong in our existence. You are about to embark on the most important journey of your life, to become lost in your terror about bone loss, heart disease, cancer, and aging is to lose what this time can teach you. You need to comfort your body, help it understand what is happening, but your state of mind is the most important thing. Walk in balance with one foot in the physical and one foot in spirit. And I was like, oh my God, that was my dream. Magic, high magic, very high magic. And interestingly, this, so now back to present time and what happened in March, on March 25th, 2014, and I got this inspiration to go to this cave. And so I had been, the last time I'd been to the cave was in 2006. I had taken Peter, my beloved, who I married in October of 2006, to the cave. And that was the last time I had been there. So it's been 8 years, and for some reason I feel this strong call to go to the cave. And it's not totally easy to get to. It, you kind of have to know where it is. It's not on the beaten path. You got to bushwhack around a bit to find it. But I was able to re-find the way to get to the cave and hike up to it and take pictures, and I'll include pictures with this audio of the cave. And I'm asking the grandmothers. I feel like I am needing some answers to a few questions that are up for me, and just really tuning into them. And so this song from Lisa Teal comes to mind. And the words of the song are: grandmothers weaving the rainbow, grandmothers weaving the light, grandmothers weaving the rainbow, weaving the threads of my life. Guide me on my spirit journey. So I was singing this. I'm not really great at singing, so I'm just going to give you the words in spoken form. But I'm singing it, and I'm in the cave, and I'm singing it, and there's this great reverberation that's happening around me. And as I'm getting ready to leave, it starts to rain. But it's sprinkling. It's not like heavy rain. It's sort of sprinkling on the desert, which is so cool to happen in March, because it doesn't usually happen this time of year. And so I started my hike back, and it's sprinkling on me, and I'm feeling like I'm being baptized by the grandmothers. I'm being washed clean, right? So this is a very amazing experience. And then the rain just stops. Suddenly it just stops, and I'm like, oh no, keep raining. The desert needs it. And I was enjoying it. And for some reason, I just thought, I wonder if this is something about me. And then immediately the answer that comes to me is that I have tears about how I've experienced the grandmothers in my life. So my father's mother died when he was 10, and an aunt raised him. And she never liked me. She in fact, disowned me and said that I had disgraced the family when I got pregnant outside of marriage with my youngest son. A whole other long story, but anyway. And so she had this huge judgment, and she disinherited me, as well as disowning me and so on. And so that was that grandmother experience. And then my other grandmother, who was my mother's mother, my maternal grandmother, I do remember having some fun kind of experiences with her. I didn't see her very much when I was growing up. She lived in California. We lived in Colorado. But she was crazy. And I didn't realize how much so until I got a little bit older and how just completely controlling and crazy she could be. Although I did appreciate some of the times and experiences I had with her, I didn't feel like she was a mentor or somebody that I could count on for any kind of knowledge or wisdom or advice. And I was like, oh, and I started to feel this grief about not really having any grandmother figures in my life as I was growing up. And then I realized, wait a minute, my children didn't really either because my husbands, both of my husbands, the father of my first three children and the father of my youngest child, none of the grandparents were interested. They'd maybe come and have dinner with them when they were in town. They'd be in town for a week and they'd maybe see their grandchildren twice. They weren't really interested in spending time with them. My mother was very interested. She spent much time with them, but she died in 1998 when my youngest was 8 and my oldest was 16. And so the twins were about 13 when she passed. And so they didn't get a lot of experience, a really good experience with grandmothers either. And I realized that I had this huge grief about that, and I felt these tears start to come up. And just as I had that thought and that feeling rise up, the wind came up and the rain came back down. And I was like, oh, this is, you know, the response from the physical world around me was so profound. So I started to sing the grandmother song again, weaving the rainbow, and I'm like, wait, rainbow? Oh my God, it's raining, but the sun's over there. I'm going to see a rainbow. And I looked around, and sure enough, there was a rainbow arcing over across the mountain as I came around the bend. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. Well, then unexpectedly, I came around another bend, and there was a double rainbow. And not only that, it was a double rainbow that was framing it's sort of in the V of coming out of this canyon. There is a little mountain or hill that is in the exact shape of a pyramid, and it was lit by this golden light and the rainbows coming down beside it, as if I hadn't already gotten such a cool message. I was so excited about the first rainbow. And now I'm getting this other experience of the rainbow, much brighter, deeper. The one rainbow really bright and deep. The other was kind of faint in the double rainbow. And the rainbow I'd seen over the mountain prior, it had been a little bit fainter. So I was like, wow, I feel, and I was just having this understanding, this realization that the grandmother guides, I have a grandmother guide that I've been working with for years. Sometimes I forget. I'm really working with her strongly now. But I realize there's a whole circle of grandmothers that I have that I haven't been really aware of before and that I'm connecting to. And they were giving me insights about this Venus cycle and how profound it is and how they've been calling all these people to come join us in this Venus teleclass, and that they're still calling people and they're finding the people who are ready to join in this community, to join with us in this process of engaging the Venus cycle and the divine feminine wisdom that is available to us now as we ceremonially engage each of the Venus gates and release the distortions, release the limiting beliefs and the ways that we have been in our divine feminine expression, and that they're there helping and they're creating this community of support. And it's profound. It's just been so incredibly profound and magical and amazing. And I was just in this place of such deep gratitude, of feeling such a strong, alive connection with my spirit grandmothers that are there for me and that I haven't always been aware of. And just even saying that makes me want to cry. Wow. And so as I was coming out of the canyon, I stepped through this little gateway and I realized, oh my gosh, I have just gone through the sixth gate, releasing of the distortions around the sixth chakra. Belief systems are connected to that. Magic is connected to that. And in the chakra meditation I had just written for the sixth chakra was about seeing rainbows, giving yourself, time to look at rainbows if you see them refracted in sprinklers or water fountains or crystals. And the best yet, the last line of that meditation is even better yet, see them arcing across the sky. And so I had just seen the totally seeing the rainbow arcing across the sky at a time of year that I would not have expected to happen in Tucson in the desert. And so I felt like I was living the meditation that I had just written, created, and recorded for the Venus teleclass. So high magic, and I realize, and I've said this before, and I'm just going to say it again, I really feel strongly about bringing a love of magic back into the world, an understanding and connection to magic. That was a profound experience. I am still integrating all of the pieces of that experience. I just had to share it, and I will share the pictures along with it. And I hope this inspires you in your own process and how you connect through nature to magic, through ceremony to magic. Because I was in a ceremonial process doing, I always do ceremonial hikes and appreciation to nature when I'm out in nature. And so, and how we just in every moment have an opportunity to experience unexpected magic.